just want to say a word about St. John Lateran first. Used to wonder when I was younger why in the world the church had a Sunday dedicated to a building. Why does it even take the place of the Sunday readings? That's a really big deal. And it's not even a solemnity, it's only a feast. And of course the reason is, when Constantine legalized Christianity, he gave the Lateran, which was the name of a hill and a palace, gave it to the church. And so it was the first church dedicated that became the Pope's home in Rome, just as St. Maria Maggiore, one of the other churches in Rome, became the first church dedicated to the Virgin Mary in Rome, also from Constantine. The church today mostly dates from the 16th or 17th centuries. The popes lived there for 1,000 years, and only when they moved to Avignon for that 80 years when the church was in exile up there, it fell into ruin and was rebuilt. It's absolutely incredible, this building with these huge statues of the apostles as you walk down the aisle. I was privileged to be there. I've been there several times, but the last was in 2010, the closing of the year of the priest. We had a huge gathering of priests there, and it was the speaker that spoke that day is coming to our mission next year, so just for your information. But after it was rebuilt, the popes, because it was in ruins when they came back, they ended up at St. Peter's, and that's where they have remained. But to this day, Pope Francis, is his episcopal seat is St. John Lateran, not St. Peter's. So there's four churches one sees in Rome. St. Paul's outside the walls, where the head of St. Paul was found there, and that's part of what you see there. St. Maria Maggiore, St. John Lateran, and St. Peter's. All four extremely interesting, the four great churches of Rome. We have this wonderful gospel of the cleansing of the temple, and of course this is a very appropriate when we're thinking about a temple. And in fact, we just built a temple ourselves, and Christ is building a temple in our bodies. And in order to understand this gospel, we have to go back in time and see just what was going on in the Jewish temple at that time. Jesus approaches the temple. He's coming at Passover. It would be like St. Ed's on Christmas Eve. That's our busiest night, is the family mass at Christmas Eve, or perhaps Easter morning. Christmas Eve is a better analogy, I think. And there are just so many people coming. A lot of Gentiles are there. People that don't know much about the Jewish faith are coming. Again, like Christmas Eve, people, some don't know the faith as well as others. And the way the temple was set up is you had, the building itself was very small, and all the sacrifices occurred on the outside on an altar, in a huge altar in front of the temple. Jesus himself, not being a Levite, almost certainly never entered the temple itself. He stayed in the outer precincts. You had the court of the men, the court of the women, the court of the Gentiles. That was on the outside. And Jesus, of course, would have gone to the court of the men. If you go to Israel today, even at the Wailing Wall, you'll see it divided by a little fence, and the women are on one side, the men on the other. That goes back to the court of the men and the court of the women. There's no court of the Gentiles. The Gentiles are allowed to go right in with the Jews and venerate the Wailing Walls. We saw the Pope has done, both popes have done in recent times. So, but then they had the court of the Gentiles, and this was the part as you come up the great, we call it now Robinson's Arch, which is has been excavated. It was an enormous arch that went into the lower city, and then another one down to the original city of David. People would come up, and the first thing they would come into is the Gentile court, and around it was the portico of Solomon, and this is the area, a great colonnaded area where teachers could come and teach, and people could listen, and even Gentiles could come in. This is where Jesus would often teach in the temple. And so this court of the Gentiles at the time of Passover, it was meant to be in the Bible. The idea was that this would be a place for Gentiles to experience God without coming all the way in. It was sort of like the vestibule of the church. It meant to be a place of prayer, where they could experience something of the presence of God. So Jesus comes up there, and what does he find? Money changers and lambs and goats and noise and cacophony and everybody selling things. And it sounds like the vestibule of the church, doesn't it? Without the sheep. But there's a big difference between these two. In order to make a sacrifice at Passover, you have to have a lamb or a turtle dove and two young pigeons. This is what Jesus and Mary brought because they were too poor to afford a lamb. But rather than bringing these animals all the way from home, which is inconvenient, but there's another reason they brought them, didn't want to bring them from home, is that they had to be completely pure. They had to be certified pure by the temple authorities. You could buy one in another part of the city and bring it in, but the danger would be that it would be rejected. However, if you bought one inside the court of the Gentiles, you'd get an automatic up because it was already pre-approved. The catch was it cost about 10 times more. Can you see the corruption? Buy one on the cheap, you're risking having it thrown out. Buy one from us, it's going to cost you, but you'll get right in. The money changers were necessary also. They wouldn't, as you may remember from Jesus's, whose coin is this, the gospel, they didn't want to handle Roman money in the temple. People from all over the empire were coming into Rome, to Jerusalem. They all had different coinages, and they also, many of them had the Roman coins. All of these had to be changed to shekels before you could actually use it in the temple area. So the money changers were absolutely necessary. However, what they were doing at the time of Christ was charging what kind of a tax would this be? I need a tax collector to tell me what it would be. It would not an excise tax. It would be a VAT type tax, but it would be it was two or three times what it should have been, and they all got very wealthy off of this. So here we have these corrupt money changers. People had to use them. Corrupt sheep sellers, not all of them, a great deal of them, a great cacophony. None of it should have been in the court of the Gentiles. None of it. And Jesus, being God, knows the original intent of the temple, and it makes him absolutely sick. He said, it violates everything that God intended for this temple. And he gets so mad, we think of Jesus, the mild-mannered shepherd. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened. He makes a whip out of cord. Reminds me when I chased my sister around the kitchen with a wet towel. Ever do that? I went to confession, don't worry about it. Jesus does this, you know, and so we have to understand why he did this. And it comes back finally to, and again, I've said this 100 times, when we were building this church, it's really all about us. I don't mean that the church is about us. I mean that Jesus, being a carpenter, he's into building projects. He's building one inside of us. He says, don't you know you're the temple of God? All of this is temporary. I hope it stays up for hundreds of years, but it will finally come to an end, but you will not. And so Jesus, if we invite him over to have dinner, and this is exactly what we're doing at Mass, a meal and a sacrifice, so Jesus comes and eats with us. He's going to come into your temple, not just our home, but we all have a temple. Some use it for storage. Some haven't opened the door in years. Hopefully it doesn't describe anybody here. But Jesus will come to that room, and the one that houses God, and he's going to want to clean it out. Maybe not the first visit, but he will work on you. He's going to work on this. What is the area that needs to be cleaned out? This is, Advent is coming up. This is a perfect chance in a couple of weeks. What needs to be cleaned out? What's out of balance in my life, in my spiritual life? If I don't have time to pray, then something's out of balance. Not everyone can spend an hour in the Adoration Chapel. A lot of young mothers, for example, there's no way they can do that. But we all have to find some time to communicate with God, even if it's on the fly. Am I reaching out to the poor? We had the coat closet today. You know, it's not convenient for anybody to do this, but we do this out of love for God. Somebody who donated a coat here is going to find Jesus using it when you meet him on the last day of your life. Like Paul died today, when he went out there, he probably found Jesus holding an Oktoberfest sandwich. I don't mean to be funny, but in a sense, this was Jesus, all the things that we did for him. am I out of balance? Do I do anything like this in my life? Not anything, not everything. Do I read the scriptures? How do I treat people? How is my money? We talked about that like 2 weeks ago. All of these things are part of the temple in our soul. Every one of these stories is a reflection of what's going on in my heart. So today we ask that Jesus will be gentle with us, but that he will also show us what needs to be cleaned out. It's much better to do it in this life than to wait for Christ to show us in the next what needs to be cleansed in the temple of our hearts.